how welcome they are in the house of the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I love to say the name Jesus. Man, it's like the honey on the tongue. It just, you know, I've often said, there's circumstances that arise that I can't go into a long prayer. Some of my prayers have been one word, Jesus.
Yes.
In the time of need, how many knows we can just call on that name? He already knows the situation. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. There's just something about that name. Jesus, 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 oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Come on, church. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. One more time, church. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance, just after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all the world and earth will praise. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Give him praise one more time, would you, in the house? Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lamb of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming into the house of the Lord. Choir, praise team, musicians, thank you so very much. If you love Jesus, turn to your neighbor, amen, and say, I love Jesus. Hey, amen. While you're doing that, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Proverbs chapter number 21. Proverbs chapter number 21. Hallelujah. Has God been good to anybody this week? Amen. Praise the Lord. I thought he was busy just with me, but evidently he's been blessing a lot of folks this week. From Proverbs chapter number 21, I want to read one verse. That's verse number 31, the very last verse of the 21st chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 21, 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle,
But safety is of the Lord. The writer says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety or victory is of the Lord. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are. Lord, for another day, another opportunity, for this congregation who is gathered here today, God, for the purpose of glorifying and lifting up the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your miracles that you're still performing. Lord, I pray this morning that you would anoint this vessel, that you would touch these lips of clay, God, to speak to us. Give us that heavenly manna this morning, God, that we need, that we so desire. I pray that you would meet each and every need in this house. God, those hands that were raised, God, they symbolize someone or some prayer need. I pray, God, that you would touch on their behalf. Bless and anoint right now, God, and I pray your will be done. Help me to be submissive and obedient to the move of your spirit, and we ask it in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning I'm entitled the message, Victory Comes from God. Victory comes from God. This week I was trying to recount the many, many times that God has come on the scene for me. Brother Jim, I could not list them all. I know that my memory is not what it once was, but I was overwhelmed with the times that I was recalling that God came on the scene just for me, let alone what he's done in the church and for family members and loved ones and all around the many, many testimonies. I was just kind of going down a personal list of how many times that God has come on the scene for me. And I began to think about the blessings in my life and the victories in my life and the times, the many, many times that I have had to been delivered and touched and anointed. And Brother Jim, I came up with this conclusion that there is not a single time that it was not from God. Even though I may have thought I pulled myself up, even though I may have thought I worked the situation out, even though I may have thought with my wisdom or something I was able to come to the end of a situation, I had to realize that it was not me at all, it was the hand of God. Amen. Are you thankful that God is still moving in lives today? And he's still giving victory. I don't believe the day of deliverance is over. Amen. I know the world, they kind of shun this kind of belief and thinking, but I still believe that God wants to do a work in the United States of America. I believe he still wants to do a mighty move in this city that we live in. I believe he's getting ready for a great and mighty move in this church, in this congregation, because there's too many people praying to the Lord, amen, for there not be deliverance and victory to come down. If you're expectant of victory in this morning, put your hands together for what God is about to do. Amen. I believe it was Solomon that wrote this particular passage, and Solomon brings to light a very interesting concept with his statement. One way maybe to view this is that it is prepare the horse, but safety and victory is from the Lord. Go ahead and prepare the horse, but safety and victory comes from the Lord. The horse was a symbol of military power during Bible times, denoting the strength and might of this very powerful beast. Horses were the mounts of kings and princes and conquerors and soldiers. But take note that men of peace usually rode donkeys or burros. The horses were delegated for warfare mainly, while most of the work of plowing and pulling carts was done by oxen. Horses were considered to be a sign of wealth and prestige, but mostly horses were used for warfare. King David used horses, but he said also in Psalms 20, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Prepare the horse, but trust in God. Can I repeat that? Prepare the horse, but trust in God. When we pray to God for deliverance, I want to ask us this question. Have we prepared the horse? And I hope that I can bring that to light this morning as God began to prick my heart this week. I have prayed prayers before without any preparation on my part. A little time for confessing. I talked about emergencies that arise. situations that we face on a daily basis. Many, many times I only had time to pray, Lord Jesus, have your will. Lord Jesus, touch. Lord, get me out of this situation. I remember a time when I was going to school in Atlanta and I was traveling back. I know I've told you this story. Those of you who heard it again, act like you never heard it. But I was coming back on 285, and you know, back during that time, you didn't see near as many state patrols and all as you do now. So I was moving and cruising right along, trying to get back to the house. And I was in the middle lane, and I was coming. You know how it is. Sometimes you're in the middle lane, and all of a sudden you think you're in Daytona. Because, you know, you got one on this side, you got one on that side, and isn't it amazing they can be a certain speed, but if you try to pass them, they both speed up. So anyway, here we was, three abreast, going down 285, and evidently a truck with a load of gravel had spilled some gravel in the center lane, which was my lane. And I hit that thing, and I don't know if you've ever hit black ice or a patch of ice and the steering wheel goes limp in your hand. I hit that gravel, and I was in a little 1970 Chevy Nova, and that thing was fast too, and I was moving on, and it hit that gravel, and I felt the steering wheel just go limp in my hand, and I did not have time to call my granddaddy, who was the pastor. I didn't have an opportunity. I had no cell phone back then. I couldn't call mom, I couldn't call dad, but you know what? I called Jesus. I said in the moment, in the twinkling of my eye, I said, Jesus, that's my only prayer. I didn't say, Jesus, help me, I'm speeding. I didn't say, Jesus, get me out of this situation. He knew everything about it. I just called on Jesus, amen. And he was there, and he let me get through that, and the steering wheel came back, and I slowed down and got over in the right-hand lane, drove in the right-hand lane all the way home, thanking Jesus. But there's been other times when things that I faced, I was well aware of beforehand. Situations that I had lost sleep over, and situations that I had tried to work out in my mind, and thought, if I do it this way, then that's going to happen. If I do it that way, then this is going to happen. And those are the times that I begin to prepare the horse. You got to understand, when they took the horses into battle, those that were going to mount those horses took a lot of pride in those horses, and they knew that sometimes that horse might never come back from battle, but they also knew that horse might save their life. And many times as they was decked out in their armor and their chest protectors and the helmets and things, many of them would coordinate the colors of their uniform with the horse, and they took great pride, took care of that horse, and because that horse was a means of life or death with them, and they went into battle with that horse. And I began to think, as the battle was approaching and as they was getting ready for that time, they wanted to make sure that that horse was well fed, that horse was watered, that horse was taken care of. And all of that began to go into my mind as I was reading Proverbs, and I got down to that particular verse, and I began to question myself, Lord, how many times have I put that much effort and preparation into my prayer before I get into my prayer closet? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God needs all my preparation. I'm saying I need my preparation. I'm not saying God needs my ability. Amen. He doesn't need my ability. He just needs my availability. But when I begin to think about how much of preparation they put into that horse, getting that horse ready for battle, but it was not victory from that horse. That was the preparation. The victory comes from God. Amen. And I begin to think, Lord, even David, when he went out to fight the giant, you understand that he stopped by the brook and picked up 5 stones. He made preparation, but he knew that it wasn't him. He knew that it wasn't the stone. He knew that it wasn't the sling. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, help me to prepare. Help me to prepare when I go into the sanctuary. God, don't let me just show up. Hello? I want to be prepared. Amen. I want to be known kind of as the little lad who went to see Jesus. Amen. And there was a multitude of about 5,000. But you know what? Not a single one of those 5,000 other than the little lad came with preparation. They came to see Jesus, but none of them prepared a lunch. God, don't let me be like that. Help me to be that little boy. Help me to pray before I ever enter the church doors. Help me to push a plate back every once in a while and begin to fast in preparation, God, of worshiping and glorifying and seeing the mighty hand of God come on the scene. Amen. I will assure you today, if we will take the time and the effort to prepare the horse, God will win the battle. God will give victory. God will deliver. Let me tell you, somebody might doubt it, but I'm telling you, I serve a God who can still heal. As a testimony, if God's ever healed anybody in the congregation, give him a wave offering this morning. What a testimony. Victory comes from God. Always comes from God. Regardless of what we do, the victory comes from our Savior. Glory to God. Prepare the horse. Prepare the horse. Get ready. Amen. Lord, I'm about to enter a time, Lord, that's not going to be the most pleasant time. Do you realize, and I have to say, oh me, a little bit, how many times we go headlong into a situation and just expect God to get us out of it? And I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and God didn't call me to be a mean person. But so many times those situations are our own doing. We'll blame everybody else in the world. We'll blame this and we'll blame that. We get right down to the bottom line. We're the one that got ourselves in that situation. Because we wasn't prepared for it. Amen. We wasn't prepared for it. Two O'Kelly brothers, Paul and Leroy. Precious, they were both Sunday school teachers of mine at different times when we grew up in the little church in Rockmart. My granddaddy pastored. Both of them were ministers. Brother Leroy was a jolly, happy, smiley, wonderful person to be around. Brother Paul was a little bit more sour. But they were brothers. And they both worked in Goodyear plant in Rockmart, Georgia. And Brother Leroy was the person that... Have you ever seen anybody, when they get tickled, their belly jumps up and down? That was Brother Leroy. He would laugh, and it would be from way down here. You know, just see that belly just jump, you know. It was just a pleasure to be around. Brother Paul was a little bit more straight-laced. Both of them wonderful men of God. Worked in the same building. But they didn't work side by side. Brother Leroy was busy kind of having a little fun with his cohorts and jollying, joking around, and nothing bad, just being Brother Leroy. Somebody came running and said, Brother Paul is hemorrhaging. He's fell down, and we don't know what's wrong, but he's calling for you. He said, go get my brother and have my brother to pray for me. And Brother Leroy testified about this many, many times after the fact, and he went running across the plant to find his brother, and he testified about this. He said, ever before I could pray for my brother, I had to prepare myself. I had to get myself right. I had to get the right frame of mind. And I'm not saying you can't joke around. I'm not saying you can't laugh. But let me tell you something, folks. There's things out there that we need to be prepared for. There's things out there that will arise that we won't have any note or notification of. And we need to be prayed up. Amen. We need to be on focus of the Holy Spirit. We need to be God about God's business everywhere we go. And he testified. He said, ever before I could even pray for my brother, I had to pray for myself. Amen. But Brother Paul made it through. God healed him and touched him, anointed him. But Brother Leroy referred to that many, many times, how that he was unprepared to pray for his brother. Prepare the horse, but victory comes from God. It wasn't Brother Leroy who healed Brother Paul. It was God that sent the victory. Amen. God wants to work in people today. But can I tell you, some of us aren't prepared for God to work in our life. We want God in our life. We just don't really want him to be our life. There's a big difference. I'm learning that. I'm trying to find out. God, you know, we say all the time, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. These other things he'll give us. Amen. And so many times we get back and we want God to give us all of this, but we want him too. And as I began to read that scripture, I said, Lord, I have not put enough preparation. I have not put enough prayer. I have not put enough fasting. God, I have not put enough about your will. So many times I'll give you part of my time, but it's not the best of my time. Man, I believe tithing is more than money. Hello? I believe we can tithe of our time. I believe we can tithe of our talent that God has given us. I believe that we can tithe of the ministry, amen, to be about God's business. If we'll prepare the horse. Come on, if we'll prepare the horse, victory will come. There's some 90 plus times in the Bible that I could come up with that horses are made mention of in some form or fashion. Horses played a big role in that particular era. They were so reverenced and they were so taken care of that they wouldn't let them pull a plow or, you know, unless they just had to, they wouldn't be a beast of burden. They used other animals for that. And the horse was mainly for warfare. Think about that. Come on, there's times that we're carrying burdens and there's times that we can come into the house of God and understand that statement that usually men of peace rode the donkey and rode the burro. There's times of peace in our life when we don't really take the horse out of the stable. Come on. We're riding the donkey and everything's going good and we're on the burro and everything is peaceful. And then we have an exceptional revival and we have an altar service that the Shekinah power of God just comes down and illuminates the whole auditorium and everybody's in one mind and one accord. Have you been there? Amen. And you're not looking at the clock and you're not checking the rumbling of your stomach for lunch, but you're focused on God and His Spirit and the anointing. Those are times that we're riding the spiritual donkey. Those are the times that we're riding the spiritual burro. But let me tell you something. There will be times of warfare. There will be times of confrontation. There will be times that the enemy will rise up in your face. Amen. And if you haven't got the horse prepared, amen, if you hadn't been prayed up, if you haven't been in the altar, if you hadn't been regular attendees at church and ministries and feeding your soul, they'll catch you unawares. Amen. And the devil loves to sift you. Amen. He'll love to tear you apart. He wants to kill and steal and destroy. But let me tell you, I believe there's a church. I believe there's a remnant. I believe there's a people who have the horse prepared and knows that the victory is not coming from the horse. I want you to understand my message. Victory doesn't come from my preparation. It just gets me where I need to be. Victory comes from the Lord. Deliverance comes from the Lord. But He wants me to be prepared. He wants me to extend faith. He wants me to walk, amen, in the light of His love. I believe that God wants to move in this place today. I don't agree that the Spirit of God is not moving like it once was. We're not moving like we once was. God's still alive. God's still blessing. God's still opening doors. God's still healing. God's still saving. The Holy Ghost is still for people who are prepared. Glory to God. Prepare the horse. But victory comes from God. Victory comes from God. I'm always intrigued at the end of a sporting event. Many, many times, I guess it's good for promotional sales and to build your station up or your news media outlet, whatever it is. But to the winning team, they always seek out the person and they hang a tag on them, most valuable player. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Sometimes there's a humble person who will step up and said, oh no, it was not about me. It was bigger than me. It was a part of a team effort. I could not have run the ball if the offensive linemen were not blocking for me. I couldn't have been shooting the three-pointers if the forwards in the center wasn't feeding me the ball. Amen. I couldn't have done all these things by myself. It took a team effort. I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for people, amen, that are in the ministry. I'm looking for people who are in the song ministry and playing instruments. Oh no, you don't understand. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's all about God. I can't do anything without Him. But I want to tell you today, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Put your hands together. Amen. For the one who gives the victory. Put your hands together for the Redeemer. Put your hands together for the great one. Amen. The first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Go ahead and prepare your horse. But victory comes from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the high power of the Lord this morning. Over 90 times, the horse is mentioned. Revelation 6, John saw in a vision the four horsemen. People sometimes, people been in the church for years. But you mention the four horsemen. You mention the beast. You mention Revelation and they panic. Let me tell you something. It's all part of God's plan. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. How many's introduced to the Word? How many loves the Word? Amen. If you love the Lord, you gotta love the Word, because it's one and the same. John saw the four horsemen. He saw a white horse, representative as the conqueror. We like the white horse, don't we? Amen. Yesterday, I think it was, might have been the day before, I was having a very intellectual conversation with my five-year-old grandson. It's amazing. He told me this week how the sun operates. When I was 5 years old, I said, there's a big round orange ball in the sky. That's the sun. But he began to tell me, Papa, it's these bubbling gases that shoot up, and it's fire, and it gives off light for the earth to see. I said, tell me more. His sister, his 11-year-old sister, said, he's smart, ain't he? I said, yeah. I was having a conversation with my 5-year-old, and he said, Papa, I need a horse. And I gave him the best response I know. You need to talk to your daddy. Works for me. What kind of horse you want, son? Papa, you know, I want a white one. I say, okay. You don't like the black ones? No, I want a white one. How about one that's got spots on it? No, Papa, I want a white horse. A lot of church folks just want the white horse. They just want the conquering part of the relationship with Jesus. Don't give me no problems. Don't give me no trials. Let me be on the white horse. I've been on the white horse. It's fun. Spiritually now. I want you to understand. Really, the only horse I care about riding, I put a quarter in it. When the quarter's done, I am too. But the white horse is symbolic of conquering. We love the conquering part. Amen. We used to sing a song. We are the Pentecostal conquerors. No, we're not. We are the Pentecostals who serve a conqueror. I didn't conquer nothing. He's the conqueror. Hallelujah. We just made the preparation. But here John saw the white horse, representative of the conqueror. Then he saw the red horse. I don't want to ride the red horse. That represents warfare and bloodshed. We've heard it say, it's time for the church to grab hold the horns of the altar. It's not just a saying. Amen. That's like Jacob grabbing hold of the angel of God. I ain't letting go till you bless me. I'm not letting go of the horns of the altar until I get deliverance. Too many people come to the altar and they pray till they feel the chill bumps. And then they think it's all right. Let me tell you something. Deliverance is more than chill bumps. Deliverance is when it gets down in here and then it gets all over you. And then you realize that God has made a way and put a door where there was no door. Give me the horns of the altar and let me stay there and prepare and pray for a mighty move of God, for healing, for deliverance, whatever the situation. Sometimes I need to ride a red horse. Because when you fight the enemy, there's spiritual bloodshed and warfare. Amen. But I got news for you. I read the back of the book. We win. We win with Jesus. Hallelujah. Then the black horse. There used to be a series that came on when I was growing up. It's called Fury. I thought that was a movie coming back on several weeks ago, and I flipped it over, and it was about a battalion of tanks. The Fury I knowed was a black stallion rode by a kid named Jody, I think it was. It's a good little episode. And every time I see a black horse, I think about Fury. And I read here, and the black horse that Trey said, nope, don't want a black horse, I want the white one. It is representative of famine. Do you know? Do you realize how blessed we are to be able to get up out of our bed, to come to a church of believers and hear the word of God and share the word of God and pray ye one for another? Do you know there are nations and there's countries where that's not allowed? I'm going to shock you. There's places in the United States that's not allowed. The Bible talks there'll come a famine, not of bread, not of water, but of hearing the word of God. Brother Ed, it'll never get to that point. Turn your radios on. Turn your news outlets on. You're not hearing the word of God. You're hearing the tickling of your ears. I'm telling you, there's a time that the black horse is going to show up, and you better be prepared and have it written on the tables of your heart. You better know the truth, because the truth will set you free. And finally, there was the pale horse. The Bible says that it is appointed to every man to die. The pale horse was representative of death. If you are not prepared to die, I would not exit those doors today. And I'm not talking about having your funeral plan pre-planned. That's fine if you want to. I'm talking about having your soul right. I'm talking about open up your heart's door and say, Lord, fill me with the precious Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be prepared, because death is coming. Death will be there. Not only did John make reference to those four horsemen, but also in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, starting with verse number 11, allow me to read it. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Just to make sure you understand, the white horse was not called Faithful and True. It was he that sat upon upon the white horse. What does the white horse represent? Conqueror. He that sat upon the white horse. I know him as master. I know him as savior. I know him as Jesus. I know him as the Christ. I know him as the one that came off of the cross of Calvary. I know him as the one that shed his precious blood for me. I know him as the one that lifts me up when I'm down. I know him the one that wraps his arms around me. He is my conqueror. He is my Lord. And he is my Savior. Praise God. Faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon not pale horses. I will die, but not a spiritual death. Glory to God. I read that and I began to almost shout that there in my little prayer room. I began to glorify God. Amen. There'll be a time when I won't ride nothing but a white horse spiritually. There'll be a time when I'll never have another sickness. There'll be a time when I'll never have another bad day. Glory to God. I'm not talking about in this present form, but I'm talking about in a brand new glorified body. And the armies which followed him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Clothed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. White and clean. Hallelujah. I almost could not contain myself, because I remember recently reading in the book of Job. So many people say, oh Lord, let me be like Job. You better be careful what you pray. Let me tell you something. I admire Job. But Job was prepared. Job was prepared. He was prepared when the winds took the houses out. He was prepared when the enemies come in and stole all of his cattle and his sheep. And he was prepared when his children were all killed. He was prepared. Boy, that'd catch some of us. Absolutely. We'd be a basket case. So many times it's because we're not prepared for the catastrophe that comes. But Job alluded to something in the 39th chapter. It goes hand in hand with this. And he describes the horse, not necessarily the rider, but he describes the horse. And I was intrigued about that, because this horse went headlong into battle, knowing it was a battle. Knowing what might befall him. But I want you to follow along with me as I read this. Job said, hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Have you prepared yourself with strength and thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. Have you ever seen the pictures, and they slowed the camera down in slow motion, and the horses are advancing and their nostrils are spread wide. In many instances, the breath almost looks fog-like as it's coming down, and you can almost see determination in their eyes. And Job was relating this. Listen to this. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. When's the time you said, oh, I've been trying to hide from the devil. I've been trying to get away from the devil. Can you be like David? He went after the bear. He went after the lion. And that gave him confidence in his God. He also went after Goliath. Many times we want to run from problems. We want to run from these situations, but not the description of this horse. He poweth in the valley. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him. The glittering spear and the shield. When's the last time we went headlong in the battle against Satan, fully armed with a sword, the word of God, amen, the power of God that he has given us, that he promised, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Or do we quiver and shake because we don't want to confront the enemy? He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. But yet he is not deterred. He goes headlong into the battle. Amen. Prepare the horse. But victory comes from God. Please don't forget the latter part, because that's the most important. Just to make it crystal clear, we can do all the preparation in the world, but we'll leave God out. It's not going to happen. It will not come to pass. Amen. Prepare the horse. Prepare the horse. I don't know if I've been able to convey this like God placed it upon my spirit and upon my heart. But if not, please go back and read the scriptures. Ask God to reveal to you. How can we be more prepared for the next battle? How can we be more prepared for the next trial? And I'm not a prophet and I'm not prophesying, but I'll almost assuredly tell you they're coming. They're coming. Amen. You know, all these victories that I was trying to calculate in my mind, and that God had come on the scene, and I attributed every one of them to God and his power. I know that. But then I happen to think, they're not over, because I'm still living for God. I'm still trying to sell out to God. And I will assure you, when you do that, you're going to have enemies. David, a man after God's own heart, became king of Israel, did not realize how many enemies there were coming after him. Every move you make for God, the devil wants to counteract that move. Every time you make a promise to do something more for God, the devil's going to try to interfere and sling something in your way. But I'm not going to preach this message again and try to rehearse it. But if you've prepared the horse, amen, God will give you victory. Safety and victory is from God. Do you love him? Amen. Do you know what it is to taste victory? Amen. You know what it is to come through a battle? We don't like battles, but boy, we like the victory of the battles, don't we? Amen. God bless you. Put your hands one more time together for Jesus. Would you do it? Would you stand? Would you stand? God bless you. I appreciate the anointing and the spirit that I feel in the place today. There's such a liberty here. And I know God is responsible for that, but you also play a big part in that, because I believe that you're in one mind and one accord.